me. She's our church secretary, Leona, and she's very valuable. Let's put it this way, okay? She's just extremely valuable. I don't know what my husband would do without her help. I don't know what the church would do without her help, and I definitely don't know what I would do without her help. She keeps us on track all the time. And she's extremely efficient, extremely talented, and she's also just a blessing. I mean, there's so many people that she has talked to, ladies, and helped them so many times just on the phone. She doesn't just do office work, she ministers. And, you know, a lot of you ladies are probably having to do a lot of your own office work at church on a smaller scale. But I think you can learn a lot from her. So even if you've heard her before, we're going to have her go ahead and speak to us. And she always has something interesting. So Leona, come on up.
Well, I've actually worked in a church office for 34 years. I've worked here 30 years, and I worked in a church office for 4 years in Alaska. So needless to say, it is a very important element in my life as well. Sometimes it's hard to separate who I am at home from who I am here. But I consider this job a ministry, not a job. And I broke it down into four areas that I feel it my position pertains to. Number one is to the Lord. Number two, to my pastor. Number three, to the church. And number four, to the community at large. And many of you are your pastors, you're his wife, but you are his secretary as well. And God says, no matter what we do, we are to do all things well. So even though you may not feel called or moved to that position, if you were put into that position, the requirement is the same. God asks you to do all things well. And we do represent the Lord. And I've noticed through this series of meetings that a lot of the things I'm going to say that pertain to the church office pertain to being a pastor's wife, pertains to being a nursery worker, pertains to being a Sunday school teacher. The truths are the same, and they carry over. I feel like, as I look back on my life, that God prepared me, even as a teenager, to do what I'm doing today. And if God called your husband, guess what? The Bible says the two are one. He has called you, and therefore you're in that position. And so do it well. I would like to say that the church office is one of the first points of contact also. Connie said nursery was one. Well, the church office is one also. Most people, when they want to know about a church or call and ask about a church, they talk to one of us ladies first. So how we treat them on the phone and how we address them goes a long ways on what their impression is of what the church is and what it stands for. And so number one, my priority is to the Lord, because I am accountable to the Lord, and I want to do that well. Then I feel my next area is to my pastor, because he becomes my immediate boss. And I want to address something that I don't know, I've never heard it addressed in a church office manner, but I do want to address it today. And here's where I want to start. I cringe ever when everybody says, oh, he ran off with his secretary. Because I want you to know that if you're going to be a good secretary, you need to know your boss well. You need to know what he likes, what he doesn't like, how he likes his messages, how he likes his coffee, who he talks to, who he doesn't want to talk to. You get to know him well. Well, I think there's some guidelines that need to be put into place, and I address it this way. The church secretary should be friendly, but she should not be familiar. And I want to explain that a little bit. I've worked for Preacher for 27 years. I have never, ever called him Rick. I do not call him Rick. I call him Preacher. Whether it's here or in the office or at my home, I never address him by his first name. Would I say Preacher and I are friends? Yeah, I think we're good friends. But are we familiar? No. There's a line that's drawn that needs to stay drawn. Part of that is to honor his position, and that is to protect you and to protect his family. Another thing I think that is a safeguard in that is be good friends with his family. You need to watch that. You need to watch that. Most of you, you're his wife, so of course you're already involved, you know. But there should be lines. You should always have a dress code in an office. The women in the office should be appropriately dressed. Never anything suggestive, always appropriate for the public, appropriate for them. Like I said, there's lines drawn, and you need to keep those lines drawn. Not that you aren't friends, not that you aren't friendly, but don't get familiar. That's when problems happen, when people cross that line. And you don't want to cross that line. That's not what God wants for you. That's not. That's just not appropriate. It's not a good witness. It's not a good testimony. I know Preacher shared with me one time he had gone to a church, and the secretary came in the office in short shorts and sat down on the edge of the pastor's desk. That really is not appropriate. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen if you are the secretary. Don't let it happen if you hire a secretary. I just think that's one thing that, like I said, I don't hear addressed, but do you need to know the man you're working for? Yes, you do. But remember the lines. Keep the lines. That's what's honoring to God. Also, honor the position of the pastor. He is in a place of honor. God placed him in a place of honor. And you need to honor that position, and you need to honor his family. I think that's very, very important. You know, Carol was talking about my position in their family. Well, they're very important to me. And their kids, I have a pet nickname. They call me Aunt Oni. And I'm friends with their kids. I'm friends with their grandkids. I'm friends with them. And I think that's important. It just draws some lines that are important lines. And you can't work for a man that you do not respect. And I have the very most respect for the man that I work for. As you get to know who you're working for, learn their moods, because that's important. Sometimes as wives, we're cranky and we're angry to our husbands, not because we're mad at them, we're just cranky. We didn't get enough sleep, we didn't whatever. Well, this is also true of them, and it's not that they didn't get enough sleep or they're cranky, but we don't know all the time what they're carrying, what burdens are on their heart. And sometimes Preacher walks in and he will go directly to his office, and we just know, well, if he doesn't say hi or he's going directly to the office, this is a day when he has something else on his mind. And that helps us know how to react through that day. Whether to be chit-chatty or just get right to the point, we don't know what burdens he's carrying and what may affect his day. So don't let it affect how you react. Because if they come in and they are preoccupied, you know, and you're very sensitive, you can think, oh, they're angry at me. Oh, excuse me. No, they're not angry at you. They have something on their mind and they have something on their heart. So learn his moods. Learn what is you and what isn't you. And if it is you, fix it. But if it's not you, don't let it depress you. A secretary, as they say, preacher preaches a message that he preaches that he talks about, Dr. Hiles had a message called The Woman, the Holy Spirit of the Home. And that's not exactly true in the church office, but your demeanor in the church office can set the mood for the office that day. If you're friendly, you're happy, you're upbeat, even if you have to fake it, then the rest of them will be that way. But if you go in and you're down and you're grumpy, chances are they'll be down and grumpy also. So you set the tone for the office for that day. Another thing is learn his preferences. What does he want? How does he want it? What doesn't he want? And I always say this, God didn't call you to co-pastor the church. He called you to help the pastor. And I have seen some situations over my lifetime where the secretary felt she was called to give her 2 cents worth. Well, there's a time and a place for that. I know that preacher values my opinion, and I know there are times he will ask me for it. There are times he will do, or he will say, valid point, okay. There'll be other times he'll look at me and go, I see it this way. My job is not to say, well, I'm going to do it my way. My job is, okay, if you see it that way, you're the boss, that's the way I'm going to do it. So learn their preferences, do what they want you to do, and do it their way. Different churches have different policies, so learn the policies. Learn how he wants you to answer the phone. Learn what numbers he wants you to give out, what numbers he doesn't want you to get out, how he wants you to handle sales calls, how he wants you to handle calls for benevolence. Establish your policies so you know what procedures you want to follow. Sales calls, I'll just, because that's so much of a big part of our day is the phone. The phone is the major, it's a constant in the office. I just want to go through a few of the rules that we have here that we've set as a precedent, and maybe it'll help you and maybe it won't, but sales calls. Sales these days, people are desperate. And they will do anything they can to try to get in any way they can. And my job is to screen those sales calls. Shelley, Debbie, they both also know how to screen those sales calls because they will call up and try to act like they are preacher's long-lost buddy, long-lost friend, or they've known you forever and they start using calling you honey and all that kind of stuff. But I handle them all, and nothing tickles me more than when a few of those get around one of us and it goes into him and he says, I'm sorry, you have to talk to my secretary. But you can take a lot of pressure off of him just by fielding those calls. Now, is every sales call not worth your attention? No, there are some that are very much worth your attention. But you get the information, you screen the information, so when you pass it on, he knows what you're talking about already. He doesn't have to listen to their spiel. He doesn't have to ask a million and one questions. You get the information, and then when you get it, you can pass it on, and all that's already done for him. Call from church members. A lot of times when a church member will call in, they will say, because it's automatic, can I talk to preacher? Well, sometimes really all they want to know is some very fundamental things that you can't answer. So many times we'll ask them, can I tell him the nature of the call? If it gets down to where it's something very personal, we'll say, you know, you don't need to give me the details. I'll go ahead and either give him the information or he'll call you back. But many times they'll say, oh, I was just wondering what time prayer meeting was going to be this week. Or I was wondering, you know, are we going to have There Is Hope campaign this week? if we can answer those calls, then we answer them for him, which also helps with his valuable time. I always say this, I always try to cover for him, and this is where I told the ladies from Treasure Valley Baptist Church, plug your ears, because I don't want you to know what I do, but if preacher is in his office studying, and I know that he doesn't want to be interrupted, I'll just tell him he's not available, which is not really a lie, because he really isn't available. I also, if he's gone for the day, maybe he's gone and taken Carol to lunch, or he's gone to play hockey, I don't say, oh, well, he's out with his wife, or he's playing hockey. Cover for him. You know, you're all wives, and I think that the preacher needs his privacy. I think he needs a break. I don't think that a pastor should be available 24 hours a day. You know, you learn over the years what's an emergency and what's not an emergency. There's a little sign you can put on the desk, and it has to do with, well, because it's your emergency doesn't make it mine. And we get so that we know what truly is an emergency. I worked for a pastor that is no longer here, but in one of the other pastors I worked for. He very seldom would even answer an emergency immediately. It depended on what the emergency is, because he always said, people use the pastor in place of God. They don't want to go to God for prayer. They don't want to go to God to solve their problems. They just want to call the preacher and have the preacher give them immediate answers so they don't have to deal with it. So you learn over the years what's a true emergency, and you need to get a hold of him. You need to do something about it. And you also learn to be able to wait. I don't know. If I get a message for preacher, even during service time, or I need to ask his advice for something, I very seldom run right up to him and say, preacher. I go and I stand behind him, or I stand beside him, and pretty soon he realizes I'm standing there, and he knows that I want his attention, that I have something that I have to give him. So as you get your messages and as you get your phone calls, learn what truly is an emergency and what isn't an emergency, and what to interrupt him with and what not to interrupt him with. I also, like I said, I think he deserves some time with his wife, and there are people that, I had a man call not too long ago and says, well, our preacher is supposed to be available 24 hours a day. No, they're not. They have a life. And so allow them to have that time, and everybody doesn't need to know it. Just make him unavailable. We also get calls for prayer. And this is already brought up when they were talking about gossip sessions. Some calls for prayer are just another way to spread gossip. So you learn to discern some of that over a period of time. Let them give you the vital information. You don't need the details. That's another thing I've learned from a man, is in giving the messages. If I get a call about a baby, we want to know, what color of its eyes? How much does it weigh? How long is it? What did you name it? Was it a hard labor? But you know what? That isn't what preacher wants to know. He wants to know, what is it? What's his name? And who are the parents? That's all he wants to know. He doesn't want to know all of that other stuff. So when you leave him a message, try to be precise and to the point so that he knows just the details. Very few men want to know all of those other things. If you want to ask them for yourself, which we do, we just don't pass those along. Another difficult area can be assistance calls. people calling for assistance. And right now, in this climate, in this environment, you're probably getting a lot of them. And that can be very, very stressful, even to the church secretary. I will tell you my first experience with assistance, and this goes back 34 years, so you know how long this was. But I was working, at that time, the church phone was in my home because we didn't have a building at that time. And I got a call from the lady at my phone book, in the phone book was my home phone for the church. And so I had answered it, and oh, she started giving me this weeping story about how she had sick kids, and she was on her way to Portland to see her mother, who was dying of cancer, and she had sick children, and they didn't have any food, and they were out of gas. And I said, boy, I don't have the authority to do this. Well, she called back for 2 or 3 days. Well, on the third day, the pastor happened to have been there. And he said, Leona, this is something you need to learn. So when the phone rang, he got on the line with me. At that time, you could pick up both lines. And he told her, he said, okay, he says, I'm the pastor. I want you to tell me where you're at. I will bring you lunch. I will bring you medicine, and I'll go down and put gas in your car. Click. It's done. Now, I fretted and stewed about that for 3 days. It's a con job. And we have had a lot of con jobs go through here, believe me. There's one preacher even got caught on, and we still laugh every once in a while about the one we really got caught on. But there are also legitimate ones. So, you know, I think if you're prayerful, God will show you who is legitimate and who isn't. But one of the things we have done here is we've established a response, a standard response. Of course, if it's to our people, we always note it. And each church handles that differently, but us ladies don't make that decision. We take the information, we never promise them anything, we just pass it on and let it go through the system as it's supposed to. But when we get calls from people outside of the church, we have a response. And now I don't know how your church does it, but we support the Boise Rescue Mission. And we support them as one of our missionaries. So we refer people to them who also know then, they know how to process them through this system. We also have got a community resource book that we've put together. We know where the food banks are. We know what other churches offer in assistance. We know who gives gas vouchers, who has, like I said, a food bank. Even organizations that you can apply to for your power bill. We have a book of those, and we let the people know at this time we're not giving any outside assistance, but let me give you some reference numbers that, you know what, they don't go away then feeling like you didn't help them. You've given them some alternatives. But it's good to go to your husband or whoever the pastor is and settle some of those responses up front so you react and you give out information that you can do that's pretty standardized. Once in a while, we'll get some people that walk in for assistance, and there again, we refer them to those places. Some of them, and I think God shows you, sometimes the men aren't around, and I know personally I've pulled some money out of my pocket and give it to them because I feel like they're a legitimate case. And that's the hard thing in this climate, because you have your traditional con man, and believe me, I'm telling you up front, he's good. He's very, very good. But you have some legitimate cases, so that takes some prayer also. But get with the pastor, find out what he wants you to do, get a standard response. It takes a lot of pressure off of you as you're answering the phone. I also want to tell you what our policy is. Sometimes I have one man, he loves to tease me because he always says, I got to give you something to do. But when he calls, he says, directory assistance, and all he wants is a phone number. Well, I want to tell you what our policy is here on giving out phone numbers that might also help you. It is the policy of Treasure Valley Baptist Church that we do not give people outside of our church members' phone numbers. If they call in and say, hey, I went to school with Carmen Strickland and I want her home phone number, I need to get a hold of her. I do not give out that number. What we do is we tell them, it is against our policy to give out the number, but if you will leave your name and your phone number, we would be very happy to deliver the message. And that's what we do. Then we call those people and we say, this person called, you know, they want you to contact them. Then it's up to those people. It's not, you're not responsible then. If it's people within our congregation, unless we get specifically from the people, do not give my number out, it's for the office only. If it's not a specific request, which we write right on our card, by the way, if they do say, please don't give my number to anybody, we note that on our Rolodex card so everybody knows that they don't want that number given out to anybody. But we do give members' numbers to members, other members. So that's how we handle if an outside party calls in and wants a church number's phone number. Also, the staff. That's one thing that you also need to learn from whoever you're working for. How many of their phone numbers do they want to give out? Do they want other people to have their cell numbers? Do they want other people to have their home phone? What numbers do they want people to have to make them available? Our staff has a pretty well open policy to church members that they can have all of their numbers. But that's to be predetermined ahead of time. I will even tell you this, because we do are associated with a lot of churches, not only in our area, but other places in the United States. If they call in, for instance, and say, I want to get a hold of Brother Laterco, I'll give him his church number. I may give him his home phone. Very, very rarely will I ever give him his cell phone, even if I know it, because that's up to him whether or not he wants other people to have that. Cell charges, I know particularly, I remember the first time that my daughter got a cell phone with my husband, and we get our first phone bill, and everybody is ready to pass out, and temperatures are rising very high because you're sitting on this humongous phone bill, because you did not realize how much minutes and time you're having. Most cell phones, you get charged for incoming calls as well. So we try to be careful with cell phone numbers for that reason. I don't know what the trend is in your area, but one thing that is happening in our area, which can create problems, is a lot of our people are giving up their landlines and only going to cell phones. So if that's the case, be really sure that you know what their policy is on their cell phone. You know, whether it's just open for anybody or, you know, before you give someone else their numbers. I also feel that a big part of my ministry here at the church is to serve my church. As Carol said, I get in because of answering the phone, because of being his personal secretary. I do get in on the ministry aspect of it as far as counseling is concerned. And the one thing that I guess I would like to bring today on that is don't violate the trust that's given to you in that. If people feel like you are telling someone else their problems, it can be disastrous. It can be disastrous to the work of God. And they value your trust. And that's an important thing. It's like in a marriage. If a trust is broken in a marriage, it can take years to resolve it. The Bible talks about a brother offended. And so it's always kind of a difficult area in some ways. But I got some really, really good advice from a pastor who was very dear to my heart. He told me, I said, well, how do you know what to respond to and what not to respond to? And he said, if God has an answer for it, give him God's answer. If there's not an answer in the Bible, pray for him. Because only way you can really help him is with Scripture. That's what God's going to honor. And when preacher asks me to work with a lady or I get an opportunity on the phone, the first thing I tell them is, I said, listen, I am your friend, but if I do not have the liberty to tell you the answer, don't ask me the question. They call and they want an answer and they don't like your answer, so then they're upset. Well, if you give them God's answer, if I upset them, then that deserves an apology. But if God's answer upsets them, you can't apologize for it. That's what God says. And it's difficult, and sometimes having to tell those ladies, this is what God says. Some of them get mad. Some of them are very glad. Some of them will go away mad and come back. Some of them just go away. But God's answer is what we need to give them. But the biggest warning is, don't betray their trust. Don't disclose that. And if you have to talk to somebody, talk to your husband. But don't betray that trust and bathe it in prayer. Preacher asked me a while back to go to lunch with a lady and deal with an issue. And I was scared to death. I've talked to people for 30, 40 years, and what scares me the most is this is people's lives. It's not like something in the office, I filed it in the wrong file. That can be corrected. But the answers you give them are going to be, this affects their life, where their life is going. And I just didn't know the answer for that problem, and I went to preacher and I told him, I said, preacher, this one makes me very nervous. I said, first of all, I want your mindset on it, because it's extremely important to me that I never cross-counsel what my preacher has given me. I don't want to tell them something that what'd you tell them? I want to never told them that. You know, I want to know what his mindset is so that I don't violate that. And he prayed for me, I prayed for me, and when I got to go with this person, I want you to know God gave me the exact answer. It just came, I knew the answer. So when you don't know, tell him you don't know. If you need to pray for him, you know, many times all they want is someone to listen to them. That's one of the biggest things God has been working with me on, is to listen. Because I have to tell so many people so many things. It's not a routine job. I tell everybody it's not even a cushy job. If you think, man, I want a cushy job, I'm gonna go be a church secretary, regroup, go somewhere else, because it isn't a cushy job. Number one, there's a lot of work involved. Number two, there's a lot of emotional pressure involved. When I hired a lady to come in and work with us, I told her, I said, you know, this is something you're going to have to experience. I'm just telling you up front, I can't tell you how you're going to handle it, but you'll learn there's a spiritual pressure that goes with the job. As being in the ministry, that husbands are in the ministry, you know that spiritual pressure. Well, that spiritual pressure is also in the church office. If all of a sudden everything that Ken, Will, and Mr. Murphy has come to live there, a lot of times it's spiritual pressure, and you need to be able to recognize that, or you can get discouraged. You can get downhearted about it. We were just laughing the other day, and Brother Potts said, well, this and this is going wrong, and Shelley explained something that was going wrong, and then we all looked at each other and started laughing, and we said, of course, pastor school is coming. It will happen, so be prepared. It will happen, even if you're just the secretary. Many of you know Brother Tim Green, and I asked Brother Green one time to pray for me. I said, you know, I know you pray for a lot of pastors. And I said, you know what? I don't take any direct hits, but I do pick up a lot of shrapnel. And so just know that that goes with the territory. For you that are pastors' wives, this is a little different, but for you that are church secretaries, I want to tell you something else that will happen. It will affect some of your friendships, because there are people who want to know. They want to know this, and they want to know that, and they want to know this. And you know what? You don't have the liberty to tell them. So there are some you just have to start winning yourself away from, because they're too inquisitive. They want to know, and you can't tell them. You shouldn't tell them. There are others who will say, I got it. I will tell you a lot of what I do, so if it ever happens to you, you'll know. When I get questions asked that I can't give the answer to, I'll change the subject and just go right on like I didn't even hear the question. Because you can't always get the answer. And because a lot of these are your husbands, I want to tell you something else. That can be very hard sometimes, because you can even overhear a conversation and the ladies are a million miles off in what they're saying, even what they're accusing another brother of, another sister of, or even the pastor of, and they're a million miles off. They're not even close. You cannot give them the answer. One of the things I love about Pastor DeMichael is he always takes the high ground. He may have to vent a minute, but he always takes the high ground. I can't go to them and say, well, if you only knew the whole story, or if you knew this, and you knew this, and you knew this, and this happened, and that happened, I could straighten it out. But would I have accomplished anything for him or for God? No, I wouldn't have. So you have to learn to be able to just walk away. You just can't give the answer, and that's frustrating, particularly when it's someone you care about and you respect. But you know, I've also learned things over the last 27 years. I've seen Pastor DeMichael to have to make some hard decisions, and I've had to see him take some hits that he didn't deserve. But you know what? I would say in 90% of those cases, God vindicated him without any of us having to say anything. God just brought it to the surface. Everybody knew without us having to. And sometimes it's hard to just say, let God. But God will do it. Protect his family. Protect your church. Don't let people talk bad about your church. If they want to talk bad about the church to you, walk off. You don't have to listen to it. Don't take it. Just keep going. And then when you get to church, smile, ask God to take all of the details you know about people away from you, just have it. So you can walk into a church service and smile at every one of them, shake their hand, and go on. That's what God would have you to do. Lastly, we do serve our community. We have a lot of lost people that come in and out of our office on a day-to-day basis. And you know what's exciting? A lot of you have to go out and you have to forge your way into a witness. You're on their turf out there, and you have to go out and you have to try to witness to them. Well, guess what? They're on our turf when they're in here, and we get to witness to them. Some of them don't like it. We had a UPS man who requested a different route because every time he came in here, he got witnessed to, and he didn't like it. But over the years, we've seen some fruit. We've had some people get saved as a result of coming into the church office. And the Lord gave me a special blessing here a couple years back, because sometimes you give them that witness and maybe you don't see them again, or maybe you only see them once or twice a year and you don't know that it's affected their life. And I was standing in the hall one day, and this man came up the stairs and he says, "Do you know who I am?" And I said, "Well, you're the man that used to service our fire system, our fire hydrants." And he said, "Yeah." He says, "Do you remember witnessing to me?" And I said, "Well, not in great detail, but I probably did." And he said, "Well, you did." And he said, "I was driving by here, and I thought I ought to stop and tell you. I took all that material home that you gave me, and that night my wife and I prayed beside our bed and accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. I didn't know. I didn't know that what we said to him had any effect on him whatsoever. But it did." And we don't always know what our witness does. We got to lead a copier man and his wife to the Lord. One of our sprinkler men that came and worked on our sprinklers, he got saved. We did get to win one UPS man to the Lord. But they're on your turf. Use it. They're on your turf then. You really have the right then. What are they going to do? They came here. We got them. So we can give them the message. And always be friendly, be courteous. We had a copier man, another copier man. We see copier men a lot, but you probably do too if you have a copier. His name is Eddie. And we witnessed Eddie. He came here 3, 4, 5 years, I guess. And then we changed companies when we changed the new copier. So we haven't seen him for a long time. And one thing I really get teased about is I am a shopper and I am a garage saler. I love to garage sale. And I was at a garage sale, and who do I run into? I ran into Eddie. And I had never met his wife, and she was there, and so I got to meet her. And she said, "We really do need to find a new church." And she said, "You know, we're going to be gone next month, but when we come back, we're going to try your church." She said, "Eddie always said that was always the friendliest, nicest place he ever got to go was to Treasure Valley Baptist Church." So Eddie and his wife are Catholic. I don't quite know how they're going to react to the Baptist church, but God is able, and apparently we've already made an inroad with Eddie. He says we're different than anybody else he ever went to see. So we do have an obligation to the community at large. And again, the resource book that we put out, that is also very helpful to the community, because we're not just telling them, "No, we're not going to help you." We are giving them some alternatives. And then I'm going to tell you one last thing, because we love kids. And we love kids in the office, and we have a big candy bowl. And the office should be a fun place for kids to go in and out of. One lady told her little boy, she said, "I gotta stop by the office." And she said, he got really excited, and he says, "Oh, good. Mama, is that where they give us candy and they love us?" They know that we love them in there. And if the church office can become a pleasant experience, even for the little kids at that point, that's just another thing that makes church a happy place to go to. And then last of all, it's a wonderful position. I just shared with a dear friend of mine that we get to meet some of the best people in the whole world. We know people all over the world, and we have lots of friends. I feel many of you have become my friend. And it's a wonderful position to be into. It has its downsides, it has its upsides. But the upside is, look at all the wonderful people you get to know and you get to love. And it's also good to know that there are other people out there serving the Lord and that they have the same heart you do to see some things happen. I love you guys. You're a blessing to me. Hang in there. Go get them.
I don't know about your church, but we have the best. And honestly, I mean, so many things that Leona said, we could use as wives. You know, even if you're not a secretary, there's so many bits of wisdom that was imparted to us through that. I'm like, wow, I need to do that. But thank you, Leona. Dear friend, you know, she's not just the secretary, she's a dear friend.